Our second lecture about the Holy Sacrament of Eucharist or of Communion. As we had done before, we will go with the New Testament to check the verses which were written on the Communion to prove that this Holy Sacrament is very biblical and it's very old from the age of the first generation. Starting from the Gospels, and they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I think you can read, so I will go with many verses, then I will explain some. Another verse from Mark chapter 14, just please follow with the reading. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. From Luke 22, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." So you can see Matthew, Mark, Luke are telling us what's exactly happening in the Last Supper, and they mentioned in details the act of the Eucharist as done by the Lord Himself. You know, in the book of Luke, many of the fathers of the old church believed that what He had done with the disciples of Emmaus, He also broke the bread as Eucharist. It came to pass, he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. If you remember with the story of baptism of Saul, St. Paul, his eyes were opened. That's one of the blessings of the Holy Sacrament generally, that all sacraments help to open the eyes, to see clearly the truth, to touch Christ Himself. One may ask why the disciples on the Last Supper did not ask the Lord, "What is the meaning of you are giving your body? What is the meaning of you are telling us this is my blood?" Do you know why nobody asked him? That's because many months before, he expressed what's he going to do. So when we go back to John 6 early, before the Last Supper, we can see that the Lord Himself explained this sacrament, this blessing, and He did not do it yet. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." The Jews then complained about Him because He said, "I am the bread." So this kind of dialogue, "How come you are the bread? How can we eat your body?" This happened with the Jews long before the Last Supper. The Lord insisted, saying, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven." He's talking about His body. "That one may eat of it and not die. I am the bread of life." Again, He's telling this many times. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." And you can see He mentioned the manna, because the manna were coming from heaven. But actually all those who ate manna died lastly. And most of them did not believe, although they were taking the manna. That's why he was telling the people, I'm giving something more precious, something more valuable. I'm giving you my body to catch kingdom of heaven, to be saved, not to die. Again, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give up his flesh? Look to this. That's why the disciples did not ask him on the Last Supper, because the question was mentioned long before. How can this man give up his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, he did not answer how. He said, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed. So this is the miracle here. This is the sacrament. He told them, I will make my flesh kind of food to be eaten. So he revealed this. And my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Then as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me, will live because of me. Remember, after this, many of the people listening left, went away. They refused the speech. They couldn't believe the speech. And at this minute, the Lord asked his disciples, do you like to go like them? Saint Peter said, where can we go? And the words of the eternal life you are telling us. Some of the examples of this Holy Communion was given in the Old Testament, because it's very important sacrament. Some of the examples that the fathers of the church explained. The first one was the tree of life. Remember that the promise of God to Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree, you will live forever. So the same words, if you eat my body and my blood, you will live forever. And remember also when Adam and Eve broke the commandment, did not follow the commandment, they made sin. They were forbidden to touch the tree of life. So when God incarnated, as if he came to our land to give us his body to be eaten, because the tree of life was very far, we cannot touch it. So he came himself in our land to be touched. So when we eat the body of Christ and blood of Christ, we are eating from the tree of life, we are getting the eternal life. Another meaning or example given in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of Melchizedek. Because when Abraham came after his war, Melchizedek, the king of peace, revealed to him, appeared to him, and he made him a party. But this party was different from all parties at that time. He did not sacrifice a lamb or an animal. Actually, he made the celebration with bread and wine. And that was an example in the very early days of Eucharist. A third example of the Eucharist is the manna. And remember that it was written in the books of Moses that those who gather much of the manna and those who gather little, they were all satisfied. That means it's not the quantity, it's the quality. It's only just very little can satisfy all our needs. Another example is the table of the showbread. And you know, this table in the temple of the Jew was very holified, was very sacred. And only the priests can eat this bread. But it happened once that David could eat the bread. And this kind of eat, David was not a priest, was not one of the Levite. As you know, he was not from the Levite tribe. So this means that in the New Testament, all those who will be Christian will eat from the table which was not allowed to anyone in the Old Testament. In the book of Acts, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. These four words are the main items of the early liturgy. Because if you see, the apostles' doctrine are the teaching from the Bible now. The fellowship is whatever we do after the liturgy. We can share food together. The prayers are all kinds of prayers all through the liturgy. And the breaking of bread is the communion, is the sacrament of Eucharist. So these four items were the earliest liturgy done by the apostles. Another proof from the book of Acts, Acts 20, now on the first day of the week. Remember, the first day of the week is Sunday, because the last day of the week for the Jew was Saturday. So when he say the first day means Sunday, the day of light, the first day. When the disciples came together to break bread, this means that the usual tradition of the early church is to gather every Sunday for the sake of Eucharist. All the members of the church were gathering every Sunday to take the communion. Paul ready to depart the next day. This was some of the visitation of St. Paul. Spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. This means, in the first part of the liturgy, there is kind of teaching. There is kind of reading from the Bible and explaining the Bible. It takes some time. And in our Coptic church, few hundred years ago, all the liturgies were starting at midnight, and the monks were praising God and having teaching from the Bible, and they got the communion early in the morning with the sunrise. So they go to the church in the darkness, but they get out of the church in the light, as if feeling that going into the church from this dark world will take them out of the darkness to the light of the heaven, a light of heaven with the grace of Eucharist. On the same event in the book of Acts chapter 20, now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed. So they spent the whole night preaching and praising God, praying, and with the end of the liturgy, they broke bread and then he left. When we go to the epistles, to the letters of St. Paul, we can see clearly the sacrament of Eucharist is there in the old church, quite clear, done by all churches. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. As if St. Paul was simplified the holy sacraments, but in the language of the Old Testament. So he considered Moses going into the sea with his people at the act of baptism. And he considered eating the manna at the act of Eucharist. And it happened within the period of St. Paul, that one of the churches, the Church of Corinthians, did not respect the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. That's why he was very tough, very harsh, opposing this. In his letter to Corinthians, he said, "I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say." Look to this, because there was a problem in Corinthians. They do not respect the body of Christ as a body. They considered it kind of food. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" Look how clear is the revelation here. He is telling what all the churches believe in. "Is it not the cup of blood?" So I don't understand how Protestants do not accept this truth. He is telling everyone, as usual, we consider the cup of blood of Christ. "The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Again on the same chapter he said, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." Look to this. He mentioned many times it's the body of Christ. But sometimes he's saying it's bread. And this is the meaning of the sacrament. The transformation of the bread to the body of Christ, not into the material itself, in the nature. Transformation of the nature of the bread to be the body of Christ. But for our eyes and our tongue, when he touched the bread, it's still tasting the bread. That's why sometimes he's calling it body of Christ, and in other time he may call it the bread. Again, on the next chapter in the first letter to Corinthians, he was very tough. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" You can see, although St. Paul was not there in the Last Supper, he is doing the same, he is saying the same words, he is acting the same Eucharist, because this is the tradition of the early church and tradition of the Orthodox church till the end of life. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Again, remember, in the act of baptism, we are buried, dying with God, and raised from the dead with him. And in the act of Eucharist, we are eating the body of the Lord who died on the cross, and also eating the same body of Christ who raised from dead. So we are sharing his life. He shared our life, and we are sharing his life. Saint Athanasius the Great spoke long ago, saying that he took our things to give us his things. He took our body to give us his soul. He took our death to give us his eternal life. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in any unworthy manner," look to this. Now, this is the warning of St. Paul. He put all the tradition first and proved that this is the real body and real blood of Christ, as received from the Holy Father, the apostles, from the hands of the Lord himself. Now, this is the warning. "Whoever will eat or drink in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." And the fathers of the church said, this kind of examination on two main levels. The level of belief, faith and the level of repentance. Nobody worth taking the body of Christ or the blood of Christ. Nobody deserve. But those who believe and coming into repentant heart, they deserve to eat and drink. In our Coptic liturgy, the two commonest words prayed by the congregation during the liturgy of Eucharist is Amen and Kyrie eleison. Amen means we believe, and Kyrie eleison means Lord have mercy. So this is the expression of faith and the expression of repentance. All through the liturgy, people keep saying, Amen, for he who eats and drinks in unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And the word discerning means that he cannot believe in this true body. Discerning means that he is ignorant, he is in darkness, he cannot see the truth. He considered this kind of bread, usual bread. That's why he took judgment. It's as equal as the unbelief in Christ as God. In the book of Hebrews, the letter of St. Paul to Hebrews, chapter 13, there is very important verse to prove that we have an altar in the New Testament, because you know the non-Orthodox teaching says that there is no more altar, no more sacrifice. So the words of St. Paul saying, we have an altar. He speaks Christian. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle, the Jews, have no right to eat. So we as Christians still have an altar, but on the altar is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. We don't have any more animal sacrifices on our altar. And those who still eat the animal sacrifices in their Jewish belief, they cannot share our altar. The last verse I would mention from the book of Revelation, in the middle of its street, he's speaking about the kingdom of heaven, which simplified the church on earth now. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Again, the tree of life was mentioned in the first pages of Genesis, and was mentioned again on the last page of the New Testament, as if the whole story about the tree of life, the bread of life, the food of life. So we were abandoned from eating the bread of life, and nowadays the blessing of the New Testament is that we enjoy the tree of life. We enjoy eating the body of Christ and blood of Christ. This is simplified the meaning of Eucharist. And some of the fathers of the church said that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Mean this powerful tree, the power of Eucharist, can heal all sickness in the nations, all sins, all troubles, all death. So the leaves of the tree mean the power of the body of Christ can heal everyone. That's why he said there shall be no more curse. So by eating the body of Christ and drinking his blood, there is no more curse on ourselves. Curse on the world, but not on the church. Because we in the church are eating the bread of life. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you.